Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change? Everyone, and welcome to another episode of Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind the stories of amazing people like you who have bounced back from adversity and failure to go and live the best lives on purpose. Today's show is being sponsored by $1 Million Business Pathway, where we believe everyone has a story to tell and to sell. You want to learn how to tell and sell your story? Go to tawatson.com under the programs and product page and click on $1 Million Business Pathway to get yourself started. So, folks, are you guys ready for another amazing show today? Joining me, I have the one and only Brandon Neely.
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Hey, thanks for being here. And Brandon is a financial expert, and he is going to enlighten us. But Brandon had to go through some pretty big challenges to be where he's at today, and we're going to hear more about these in a second. So, Brandon, for the folks who may not necessarily know who you are, why don't you briefly introduce yourself and tell them how to get in touch with you and follow you as well.
Yeah, my name is Brandon. You can find me at wealthwisdomfp.com. Financial partners is the F and the P. We didn't want to put financial that you had to type out, but Wealth Wisdom FP. You can find me on YouTube, podcasts, all over. If you look up Wealth Wisdom FP, you should find me, or a cartoon version of me, and Amanda, my wife, who's like the brains behind everything. You'll find both of us there.
That's awesome. So folks, make sure you reach out, follow Brandon and Amanda. They have a wealth of knowledge, and they're going to give you some information, some tidbits that are going to be helpful for you going forward. So Brandon, as you know, our podcast really centers in on bringing amazing people like yourself on and having you kind of talk us through one of your most difficult times. You've been an entrepreneur for some time. And a lot of people look back and see entrepreneurship from a distance and see all the glitz and glamour of entrepreneurship. But tell us about some of the trials and tribulations you had to endure early on with getting this thing going.
Well, I think it goes back even for me into birth almost, right? I was born as a sick child, right? And meaning premature. The doctor said I would not be able to do things like normal people do, right? And I joined the Marine Corps after some of those things where the doctors had said, you're not going to live. So of course I do the hardest thing ever, the Marine Corps. And because they said, don't do it. Public speaking, you can't do that. You're not that great at that. So now I have a YouTube channel and a podcast, right? I'm like, all right. So many people have said what you cannot do. And I'm an 8 on the Enneagram, which is a personality test. Don't tell an 8 that you can't do something, because you'll just piss them off and they'll do it anyway. And I think that's helped me, because there's been a lot of adversity growing up. You know, I grew up in a single parent home. My mom, she was in sales. She did her own kind of business, but also she had other issues that she was dealing with, psychological, emotional. And I had several stepdads throughout that time. My dad wasn't around. And so that really formed me of what I didn't want. There's certain things I liked, about family, but there's certain things I didn't want. And part of our financial thing and what we do now is, we both came from poverty. You know, my wife came from a home that was with 10 kids, right? And she's the youngest of 11, right? So learning that from poverty, how can I change the paradigm of things? And that's what led me into the coffee shop world, making a difference, changing the world that way, and into this now. But it was not easy.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. So Brian, I want to take you back for a moment, because again, we have a lot of listeners out there who are being told that you can't do this, you can't do this, you will never do this. I remember even my father being the person who told me that I would never be anything in life. Yes, you were able to bounce back from that, but talk to me about what you felt when you heard that word the first time, that you can't do something, you will not be able to do this, you will not be able to do that. T- Talk to me about the feelings that kind of go into to that piece, though.
Oh, there's a lot of self-doubt, right? There's a lot of, oh, I can't do that. You're right. That's impossible. I'm not that great at speaking. And I still, like, you know, as far as going into the military, right? Push-ups and pull-ups still suck for me. I'm not that great at them. However, I did the minimum, but I was a good runner, right? So that was helpful. But, and there's certain things and limitations, you know, I'm probably not going to be an NBA All-Star, right? Probably not going to happen. There's certain things where, yeah, there are limitations, right? I got to know that. But then there's certain things that we put glass ceilings on us, or people put glass ceilings on us all the time. And we have to, like, be able to know, hey, I'm not going to be an NBA All-Star at age 45 and white anyway. It's probably not going to happen. But that's being self-reflective, be asking and learning and also working through it. So I did Toastmasters to learn how to do speaking. And it took me some time, like for the first even couple years of running this business. My wife did most of the public speaking because I've heard people say, you can't do it. And I'm like, wait, no. I've even just come into that saying, no, I am really good at this.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I appreciate you sharing that and being honest around that and being transparent about that as well. You know, so on your journey to kind of become better and to become that I am going to do it person, when you were getting those can'ts, did you have mentors or guides to kind of help you on the journey to kind of get that self-confidence when you were feeling doubtful?
Oh, absolutely. I think we need to have guides in our life all the time, whether it's somebody just saying, you know, you are going to be a good father or good parent or a good business person, like those things that can level you up. Though that's what helped us get through our challenges in our business. Because I will tell you, when we first started our business, we had in our second year of our coffee shop business, it was the worst year of our life. Like our marriage almost fell apart because, you know, of things, because we were stressed. My grandma died. I had appendicitis. My cat died. Our mother-in-law, I think, had a stroke then, heart attack for my dad, grandfather, or her dad. Just a lot of things in that year. And then people want you to, you know, when they buy a coffee, they want you to, you know, say, how's it going? And they want you to say, it's good.
Yeah.
Which it wasn't.
Yeah.
Because that's not good customer service to say, no, life sucks right now. Right. Thanks for asking. No one likes that. It's not good customer service. So having those other people around you, those things are important. So whoever those are, you know, it might not be your dad because, you know, there's issues there. But yeah, you can reach that. That's why I love the church, right? Because you can find some of those relationships.
Absolutely. So Brandon, when you look back on your darkest day, what kept you fighting? You know, why didn't you give up? Why didn't you throw in the towel? What kept you going? Say, hey, you know what?
Yeah.
What kept you going?
I will tell you, there was that one day when I said everything was falling apart with the, and again, my wife also had a miscarriage at that point too. And I remember, like literally angry, upset, walking out and saying, this is done. I can't. And I called my mentor and said, this is where we're at. We took a step back, right? Even as we're giving, and our business name was Overflow, but if we can't overflow, we can't help other people.
Right. Yeah.
Right. And we realized that. And we needed to make sure we still had our marriage, right? Yeah. So we made sure date night was a mandatory thing after that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of other things that just shifted. But it was having that conversation with our coach, spiritual director at the time, that helped us overcome that. And they didn't care about the product of the business.
Yeah.
They cared about us. And so I tell every business owner, if they're going to go into business for themselves, there's three things that I tell every business owner. Know that you know that you know that you're called to it.
Yes.
Because it will be hard and you will get arrows.
Yes.
And if you are just going because you think it's all going to be sunshine and rainbows, then you're going to quit in no time. Absolutely. So know that you know, have a team around you that care about you, not just your output, and know your numbers or metrics. So that way you can quantify what's working well, right? That's, you know, your metrics, you're in football, right?
Yes.
Your metrics are showing up to practice and doing those things and embracing the pain and pushing through that. That's part of knowing your numbers and the profit first system that I love.
Yeah, that's very, very critical. And kudos to having that mentor and for you guys reaching out to them as well. You know, as you look back on your journey, how would you say all those things have kind of shaped you now? I mean, you're now running a wealth building organization. How did all those challenges and changes kind of shape you as a person?
Yeah, I think it's always been like some of our faith, some of our just understanding who we are as individuals, self-awareness, going through those pains and sufferings. I would never wish it on anybody. However, I do think it's made me more empathetic to my clients, you know, and, you know, they look at me and say, wow, you've done this, this, and this. I'm like, well, that's, I didn't start there. I'm still, you know, 45 and I wish my net worth was $2 million, but I, you know, I learned along the way, didn't have great role models, in some regards, it's, like learning and finding the right role models. Yes. So now for me, I'm just like, I want to be a good role model for when it comes to building wealth. And I don't quantify wealth as just money. Wealth is a number of other things. Like you could make a lot of money and have a divorce and not have your kids.
Yeah.
Right. That's not healthy. And so we want to think about that. And our logo is these rocks where we build a stable foundation and build up from there. Most people are looking after quick fixes.
Yeah.
Right. And they're trying to build that. They build their foundation upside down, right? The little rocks on the top, and then they go and they wonder why it's all jacked up. I'm like, well, you didn't build a good foundation. That goes in family. Like I bet you didn't have a good foundation growing up, right? That affected you, but I bet you your family now is built different because of building foundations that you did, probably the things of like date nights or hanging out with the kids that you didn't have that you were able to give. Those things are important, and that's more than money, but money is helpful. That's still, absolutely. You know, you got to have money to buy ice cream or something.
Yes. You know, that wealth you talk about is definitely about freedom and balance as well. So I love the fact that you shared that as well. You know, so as you look back years later now, would you do anything differently?
That's a hard question because, you know, I when I was in the Marine Corps, you know, I actually got out on misconduct for marijuana, which I didn't, you know, just one time. Anyway, but it led me to where I'm at here.
Sure.
Right. And there's a lot of things where I'm like, man, I wish my parents were still married and, you know, but I don't think that would have been a great idea. Right. And so I don't know how to answer that. Right. Because I don't know. It's kind of like, you watch Marvel movies.
Yes.
You know, it starts being into the multiverse. And I'm like, I don't know. I know what it would have led. It could have been a totally different thing and not married to my wife.
Right.
I know.
And you know, you're so right about that, Brandon, because, you know, most 99.9% of the people who come on my show say that they wouldn't do anything different because doing something different wouldn't allow them to be who they are today, though.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think that's what you're saying as well. You know, that some things happen to us for reasons and we evolve and we kind of are who we are today. So I thank you for sharing that as well.
Yeah.
So, Brandon, as you know, we're coming off a tough 2 years. People have lost jobs, lost finances, lost loved ones, lost hope in many situations. So, Brandon, for those folks out there listening, what words of advice can you give those folks out there to let them know that brighter day is going to come? Talk to those folks.
Yeah, I think one, and this is a challenging thing, is I'm a person of faith, and I think it's take 100% responsibility for everything is what I think as a business owner, 100% responsibility. Don't be a victim. We could always claim the victim card. That's, you know, whatever. That's not going to help you. But then it's 100% you and 100% God.
Yeah.
And the way I think about a lot of this. And also take responsibility for your finances, right? Yeah. Don't just say, oh, well, somebody else will deal with it. But really be asking yourself the right questions. Question your, you know, just because Dave Ramsey said something doesn't mean it's right. Sure. Right. So be questioning that. And I think the world is in chaos, which I call it's confusing, haphazard, anxious, overwhelming, and stressful. That's chaos, right? Yeah. What we need, and that we've been thinking a lot about this, is what we call the still method, right? Still method is set your sights, track your in and out, inspect your progress, look for 1% adjustments, and live deliberately.
Yeah.
If you do those things, you will have a healthier life. And that's just not in money. You know, you could say, well, I'm not doing well physically. But you know what you can do? Start going to the gym. I don't know. Eat less ice cream. Those kind of things. And take responsibility for that. And not just say, well, I can't. Because that's what gets us in the situation in the first place. When you say, I can't, most business owners, they don't know can't in their vocabulary. They say, I'll find a way.
Absolutely.
That's what's going to show you.
That is great advice. And I am one who had to leave the ice cream alone as well. So great advice as well. So Brandon, we come to the part of our show where we call it our rapid fire purpose question. Are you ready to have a little fun now?
Oh yeah. I've been having fun the whole time.
All right. I love it. So this is called a rapid fire purpose question. I'm going to ask you some questions about purpose. I'm not going to expound on the questions. I want you to give us your most succinct answer to each question. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Brandon, tell us how you have turned a dream into reality.
I mean, seriously, buying a office condo and a house and all the things that we're doing, going to Aruba with a 4-year-old.
Yeah.
That's a huge dream. I never got to do that. So I love it.
Awesome. What gives your life meaning?
Oh, the people around me, like seeing the changes in lives that the clients I work with, my family, those things. It's not about the dollars, which again, it's weird in the financial system to be saying it's life is not always quantified as dollars. It's about the relationships.
Absolutely. What one word best describes you?
Oh, bullheaded. That's what my wife might say. keep going.
Yeah. Great answer. I love it. What problem do you want to solve in our world?
Poverty. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a big challenge of systemic poverty and it's done by design.
Sure.
And I would love to see where we have ended, racial poverty, all kinds of poverty.
Yeah, I agree with you. What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Legos, watching Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or things like that.
You can never go wrong with them.
I have a 4-year-old now, so I'm still doing those things again.
Awesome. What do you wish you had more time to do?
I think it's, again, those times with our kids, right? Like he's 4. I don't want to just be, hey, I'm working all the time, but those things, because it goes fast.
Absolutely. So. What does your 15-year-old self imagine you'd be doing right now?
My 15-year-old self probably would not have seen me here. Who knows? I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah. Well, you're in a great place. 15-year-old self would definitely be proud of where you are today, though, for sure. Who inspires you the most?
Oh, that's a lot. That's a hard question. Maybe Jesus. I don't know if that's a good answer, but there's a lot of people like MLK, those people that like really went after it and they suffered for some of it. I think those people are who I am inspired by.
Yeah, great, great list. I love it. What's something about yourself we might be surprised to learn about you?
I told you I like Marvel movies. And something else, I'm pretty simple. Like, okay. I feel like some people think it's about growing, and I'm like, you'll never know if we're millionaires or not.
Yeah, there you go. The millionaire next door. I love it. What's something you'll spend your time doing no matter what?
Oh, it's investing in other people. Like, that's a very powerful thing. And also building into myself at the same time, like learning, growing, self-reflecting. I think we're always learning about ourselves.
Great combination. What do you want your grandchildren to say about you someday?
I want them, and this is why, like, what I love about having podcasts and YouTubes. This is a repository of all the things that I think about and we think about. So I want them to come back and be like, oh, wow, those guys created. I am so glad, like, what the Rockefellers did, right?
Yes.
I want to be able to say, great grandpa or whatever, those guys changed our trajectory.
Yes, I love it. I love it. Speaking of Marvels, if you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
Well, I think I'm most like Spider-Man. I think, that's where people would say, oh, you look like Tobey Maguire. everybody uses Spider-Man, but I don't know if that's the best thing for finance. Maybe Charles Xavier, but then I don't want to know those things either.
Right.
A lot of them are violence powers. So I don't know.
Great senses. He had spider senses that can sense when a person needs help, though, too. So you can use that right there.
Yeah, there you go.
If you became president today, what law would you pass first?
Oh, I don't want to answer. I have no idea. Okay. Because I think that the politics of today is all divided. And I feel like there's a thing of unity that we need, and no president's going to solve it. I would love to figure out how these big corporations can get away with so much. Mm-hmm. And that's so hard. I don't know what law will do it. Totalitarian or something like that. Mm-hmm. I would make everybody have to read novels and become more empathetic somehow.
Okay. I think you would get a lot of votes for that, though, man. That's pretty good.
Maybe some people would be like, yeah, but he's making me read.
Hey, some of us need it, though. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would it be and why?
Who would I follow around? Man, this is another hard one. Some of my mentors in the financial services world, just to learn more about that. Maybe Garrett Gunderson or something along those lines, just to see what they do business-wise.
Sure.
But then there's other people from our church background that follow the pastor maybe, but I don't know.
Good selection. Yeah. There. What's one thing you have never been afraid to do?
Try new things. I mean, seriously, a lot of people are passive about, starting a business or doing all this. And I think, the only person that's stopping you is you. So, I don't like going on roller coasters, but, I'm not going to do that.
I'm with you there. We're in the same boat there. What moment from your childhood are you most proud of?
Joining the Marine Corps, I think was a big deal. That was a big switch. I wish I would have watched Full Metal Jacket ahead of time and I would have joined the Air Force. That's really a big pivotal thing. That changed me. I feel like I moved a lot, and sure. I grew up in New Orleans, so I don't remember a lot of the, even when I was 15, I don't remember as well, because I've had so many stages in life that I'm like, I could write a, I don't know what this would be. It's novels or something.
Yeah, absolutely. A series. Absolutely. Yeah. Thanks for your service as well. What does success look like for you, Brandon?
It is more about the, do the people say, you know, and again, going back to faith, I want God to say, or the people around me saying, you know, that guy is true to himself and to the people around him. There's a passage I put on my arm. It says, in humility, consider others better than yourself. I
love it.
I want to be where somebody listens and they say, you know, he's not there just to make money. Money is important, yeah, right? Mm-hmm. I do want to make a sell, right? But really, I want them to know, hey, this guy cares about me over the dollar.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it. Great, great philosophy. What are you most grateful for?
Oh, my family, like living here in Cincinnati, the just cost of living versus Illinois is a lot better. Yeah. And just to be able to create what we've created, regardless of the circumstances that we came out of. I'm so grateful. And I'm now trying to figure out, how do I teach a four-year-old that the world doesn't revolve around him? Yeah. He may have not experienced the pain, and I don't want him to have dad issues like I did. I mean, he will. So that's something I'm thinking about, is like, how do I teach him? So when he starts complaining his lattes are too foamy, we're going to Africa or China or somewhere. Or that's out of that.
Cincinnati, you can take him to as well. And
yeah, well, I want to do that too. Uh-huh. But I want him to see that the world is so expansive, like, and empathy.
Absolutely. I love it. And once you figure out how to keep that four-year-old at a place where they don't focus on themselves, you need to write a book about that one.
Right.
We all agree with that. What's been the biggest lesson you have learned so far, Brandon?
It's not all about you.
Yeah.
I think that's, again, what we need to learn about as a culture and world. And I think that's the president's challenge, right? Is we all are, you know, this is for me, and this capitalism thing that we've created in the past 30 years, 40 years, mm-hmm. It's not all about you.
That's right.
Right? And there is suffering, right? And that's, again, I look at Paul and saying, okay, how do you have joy in the midst of suffering? Those kind of things.
Yeah, that's a great lesson to learn. I love it. And then last but not least, Brandon Neely, how do you want to be remembered in history?
A world changer. Like, I might not be, you know, Mother Teresa or Dr. King or something like that, but to the people around, you know, I want them to say, you know, this guy, by what he did, and they might not remember me. Yeah. I might just be the agent that's helped them set up life insurance policies and the kids don't, but that kind of thing is where I want to be at.
Awesome. Brandon Neely, everyone, give him a round of applause. Brandon, you survived. Great job. Give yourself a round of applause.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Awesome.
Hey, folks out there, I hope you've been inspired by Brandon's story. I want you to reach out to him. Again, Brandon, if people want to reach out to you, what's the best way to do that again?
Yeah, go to wealthwisdomfpfinancialpartners.com. Wealthwisdomfp. Schedule a call with me. I'd love to do that. The analysis that we do for clients are free, no obligation, where I ask kind of the same questions you asked here. What are your goals? How do we reverse engineer that to reach where you want to go, not just where somebody else wants you to go? And so go there, go to our YouTube channel, go to our podcast, whatever. And we'll eventually have a book too.
Oh, that's awesome. I love it. Be sure to follow him and be ready for that book as well. So Brandon, last but not least, our podcast centers on two things: purpose and resiliency. What last words do you leave our audience with around purpose and resiliency?
You only have one life, I think. And if you're a business owner, or if you live, right, stop playing the victim,
sure.
Right? I think that's the world that we're in, is everybody's playing victim. Mm-hmm. Pull up your pants, you know, big boy pants, stop crying, right? And go out there, make some mistakes, and but move forward. You know, everybody has arrows, but the key is in their back. The key is not that you got those in their back and you're whining, but how is that going to make you a different person? So be resilient, stop complaining, and get out there. And that's hard for me, even, you know, and my wife will tell me you're complaining or whatever, but it's a practice.
Yeah, we all need that reminder from time to time. Hey, Brandon, thank you very much. Hey, folks, if you're someone out there, you're an overcomer, we want to hear from you, please go to our website, tawatson.com, share your story with us, subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories, download this episode, rate it, share with your folks on social media. And again, thank you all for joining us today. God bless, peace,
and yours truly, Dr. Watson.